Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today? Inshallah, today I am going to tell you the story of one of the most righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His name was Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam was one of the grandchildren of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. He lived in the land of Haran 2,500 years ago. Prophet Ayyub was a pious person. He was married to a young woman called Rahma, who was also one of the descendants of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. They believed in Allah and His Apostle. They led a happy life. Allah the Glorified endowed Ayyub with many sons and daughters. He had lots of fields and pastures. He had abundant crops, and his cattle grazed on his pastures. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam followed the religion of his fathers, and he was a stern believer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a huge house, and all his sons and daughters lived in his house. He loved the poor and gave them food and clothes. He always invited an orphan or a poor person to eat with him. The Prophet worked in his fields and farms along with his workers. His wife milled the grain. His daughters helped the workers in the fields as well. Meanwhile, his sons were entrusted with the task of helping the poor. They searched for the needy and poor in town and carried food and clothing for them. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his blessings. He helped the people in any way he could, and the people loved him back. Shaitan saw how people adored the Prophet, and he was very jealous of him. One day, Shaitan had enough of it, and he approached God. He said that although the Prophet kept praying to God, he was not a faithful person. But Allah told him that the Prophet was one of his true believers. Shaitan then said that the Prophet was trying to please God by doing all good work. If you remove all his wealth, then you will see that he will stop worshipping you, he said to God. Let me take away his wealth, then you will see his true faith, he argued. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show Shaitan the true depth of a prophet's faith. So he allowed the Shaitan to do whatever he wished. The next day, Shaitan destroyed everything the Prophet owned. He burned down his farms, his cattle, his house. He even killed all of the Prophet's loyal servants. Shaitan was very happy now. He disguised himself into an old man, and he approached the Prophet, who was mourning over his losses. You have lost all your wealth, he said to the Prophet. Some say that it is because you gave away too much to others as charity. Some are saying that you are wasting your time with your prayers. Your God is powerless. He would have saved this from happening otherwise. The Prophet shook his head in disapproval. It was Allah who gave me all of this, and I was just a caretaker. He gives to whom He wills and withholds from whom He wills. The Prophet then prostrated to God. And when Shaitan saw this, he was angry. So he went back to God and said, I have destroyed all of Ayyub's wealth, but he is still faithful to you. I want to test him once again by taking away his children and his loved ones. That will be a real test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Shaitan that whatever he does, the Prophet's faith will not be reduced. That night, Shaitan went to the Prophet's house and destroyed it. All of the Prophet's children died in the house. The Prophet was heartbroken. All his sons and daughters were now dead. The shaitan was happy now. So he disguised himself as the same old man and approached the Prophet. "This is so sad. I am sure your God is not rewarding you for your faith. I think you should stop worshipping him." But the Prophet said, "Allah sometimes gives and sometimes takes. He is sometimes pleased and sometimes displeased with what we do. Whatever happens, I will remain firm in my belief and remain thankful to my Creator." The shaitan was really angry when he heard this. "My Lord Ayyub must be thinking that as long as he remained healthy, he can produce more children. Let me take away his health, and then you will see his real faith." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to teach shaitan a lesson. So he granted his third request, but on one condition. It was that shaitan will have authority over the Prophet's body, but not over his soul or intellect. Shaitan agreed and went back to the Prophet. Shaitan started afflicting diseases on the Prophet one by one. In a few days, the Prophet was reduced to mere skin and bones. But whatever happened, the Prophet remained faithful to Allah and all his blessings. He knew that God was testing him, like he did with all other prophets. Shaitan realized that there was no point in talking to the Prophet anymore. So this time, he approached his wife and tried to tempt her. He reminded her of the days when the Prophet was in good health and when he had all his wealth and children. When Rahma remembered the good times, she was suddenly overcome with pain of the years of hardship. She suddenly burst into tears. When the shaitan was gone, she went to the Prophet and cried, "How long are you going to bear this torture from our Lord? Are we going to remain without wealth, children, or friends forever? Why don't you call upon Allah to remove this suffering?" The Prophet remained calm and consoled her. "You must be tempted by the shaitan. Surely he must have whispered to you. And I know that's why you're upset. Tell me, how long did I enjoy good health and riches?" he asked her. 70 years, she replied. "How long have I been suffering like this now?" he asked her again. 7 years, she replied. "I am ashamed to call on my Lord to remove the hardships. I have not suffered longer than the years of good health and prosperity." Rahma was not satisfied with this answer, and she pleaded with him again. This time, the Prophet was angry. "Your faith has weakened, and you are dissatisfied with our Lord. If I ever regain my health, I swear I will punish you with 100 strokes. He asked Rahma to leave the house, and asked her to never return again. Rahma loved her husband very much. She was shocked when he asked her to get out of the house. But she couldn't do anything now. So she wept bitterly and left the house. The Prophet was sorry for what he had done. He knew that his wife meant no harm. In this helpless state, the Prophet prayed to Allah, not to complain, but to seek his mercy. "O Lord," he prayed, "harm has inflicted me, and you are the most merciful." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard the prayer of the Prophet and turned to him with mercy. In a vision, he asked the Prophet to strike the ground with his feet. The Prophet obeyed the order, and suddenly there was a beautiful spring coming from the ground. It was a miracle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet to wash himself in the spring, and the Prophet obeyed. As soon as he washed himself, he was cured. The Prophet could not believe himself. Rahma had been away from the Prophet only for a few days now, and she started missing her husband very much. She could no longer bear to be parted from her husband. So one day, she returned to the Prophet's house. When she entered the house, she saw the Prophet had changed. He had regained his health, and all signs of illness were gone. She was so amazed at this change that she had tears in her eyes. She embraced her husband and apologized for what she had said. Ayyub alayhi salam was now worried about the oath he had taken. In his anger, he had taken on an oath to punish her with 100 strokes. If he regained his health, he did not want to hurt her, but he could not break a promise made to Allah as well. And once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to help his faithful servant. He asked the Prophet to collect thin blades of grass from his garden, and then make a bundle using 100 of them. Then he asked the Prophet to strike gently with that bundle. The Prophet did so gladly, and his wife was not hurt at all. The Prophet soon regained his wealth, and his children were raised from the dead. It is said that Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam lived till the age of 93 years. Hello, kids! I hope you liked the video. Please click that subscribe button and that bell icon to keep updated on all our new releases. If you like the video, please share it with your friends as well. Inshallah, I will tell you the amazing story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam tomorrow. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. Inshallah, today I am going to tell you one of the most interesting stories in the Quran. It is the story of a prophet who had to spend time in the belly of a huge whale. Can you guess who? Yes. Today, I will tell you the story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. Now, listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Yunus alayhi salam. According to the texts, Prophet Yunus alayhi salam, who was the son of Matta, was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to warn the inhabitants of a town called Nineveh. Nineveh was a very old Sumerian town, perhaps older than 3500 BC. It became the capital of the famous Assyrian Empire. The people living in Nineveh worshipped idols and they disobeyed God. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam was sent to guide them to worship the one true God and warn them of God's wrath if they disobeyed him. But in spite of the Prophet's repeated calls, they ignored him and refused to give up worshipping the idols. He tried preaching to them for many years, but the people made fun of him and sometimes even threw stones at him. For a long time, the noble Prophet guided them to the truth in all his sincerity. He warned them that if they kept on with their way of life, Allah's punishment would soon follow. But instead of thanking their well-wisher, they absolutely rejected his message. "We are not afraid of your empty threats," said one. "If what you are saying is the truth, then ask your God to bring upon the punishment." And they laughed at him. After many years, the Prophet was left with no hope in his heart. He got disheartened and decided to leave the city of Nineveh. He left the disbelievers in their misery and left the city before Allah's punishment came upon them. Hardly had he left the city when the skies began to change their color. The sky looked as if it was on fire.
"This is what Yunus predicted," one of them started shouting. "The prophet was right. We will be destroyed, just like the people of Ad and Thamud," said another.
Slowly, faith penetrated their hearts.
"We should stop worshipping the idols and pray to Allah," said one of the elders.
They all gathered on top of a mountain and sincerely implored the Creator for his mercy and forgiveness. The whole valley echoed with their cries. The Lord, most merciful, was pleased. He removed his wrath and showered his blessings and mercy upon them once again. The skies were cleared and back to normal again. The people were very happy now. They now prayed for the return of their well-wisher and prophet, Yunus alayhi salam, so that he could guide them to the right path. In the meantime, the prophet had boarded a small ship, trying to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. There were many other passengers in the ship as well. The ship sailed in calm waters all day. There was good wind blowing at the sails. But when it was night, the sea suddenly changed. A horrible storm blew as if it was about to split the ship into pieces. There were huge waves everywhere, and they rose up as high as the mountains, tossing everyone in the ship. The captain of the ship asked the crew to lighten the ship's load. They threw their cargo overboard, but this just wasn't enough. Then they threw all their personal belongings. But this too didn't make any difference. They knew that they would be tossed into the sea unless they lightened the load of the ship.
"We must remove one person from this ship," said the captain.
Everyone agreed to this idea, and it was decided to cast lots. The one whose name would be drawn would be thrown into the sea. This was one of the seamen's traditions while facing a storm. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam agreed, but little did he know about God's plan that awaited him. Behind the ship, a large whale was following them. A command had been issued from God to one of the greatest whales to surface. The whale hurried to the surface of the sea and followed the ship as it had been commanded. When the lot was drawn, the name of the prophet appeared. Since the men knew him to be the most honorable among them, they did not want him to die. Therefore, they decided to draw a second lot. But this time again, the name of the prophet was drawn. The men were surprised, but they decided to give him a final chance. They drew the lot for the third time, but this time too, the name of the prophet was drawn. Prophet Yunus alayhi salam realized that this was a punishment sent to him by God for abandoning the people of Nineveh. He told them that it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked them to throw him into the sea. The men threw the prophet overboard, and as soon as the prophet hit the water, he was gobbled up by the whale, which had been following the ship. The whale then dived to the bottom of the sea. There were three layers of darkness covering the prophet, one above the other. The darkness inside the whale's stomach, the darkness of the sea, and the darkness of the night. The prophet at first thought himself that he was dead. But when he realized he could move, he suddenly stood up. He realized that he was alive and imprisoned in the midst of this darkness. The prophet knew that this was the punishment of Allah.
So he cried, "There is no God but you. Glory to you, I was indeed wrong." He continued imploring his Lord and Creator. The Lord finally accepted the sincere repentance of his beloved servant. He made the whale go back to the surface and eject the prophet. The prophet landed onto an island at the farthest side of the ocean. But his body was inflamed because of the acids inside the whale's stomach. He was severely ill, and when the sun rose, its rays burned his inflamed body. He was on the verge of screaming in severe pain. However, he endured the pain with patience befitting only the noblest prophets of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a vine grow tall enough to provide him shade from the scorching sun. Soon, the prophet recovered. He traveled back to his people and his hometown, Nineveh. When he reached Nineveh, he was pleasantly surprised to notice the change that had taken place among the inhabitants there. The entire population turned out to welcome their beloved prophet. One by one, they told him what happened after he had left the town. The prophet was really happy now. He was glad that the people had stopped worshipping the idols, and all of them had turned to Allah. He lived amongst the people of Nineveh and guided them until the time of his death.
Did you like the story, kids? I know you did. Please don't forget to subscribe and click that notification icon to keep updated on the latest videos. Don't forget to share the videos to your friends as well. Inshallah, I will tell you the story of one of the greatest prophets in Islam, the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you about one of the most important prophets mentioned in the Holy Quran. It is the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. In Islam, Prophet Musa is loved and respected. He was both a prophet and a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God mentions his name more than 120 times in the Quran. It is the longest and most detailed story of a prophet in the Holy Quran. Are you ready to hear his story? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The birth of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The descendants of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam, who are also known as Bani Israel, migrated to Egypt. They lived for a long time happily in this country. Prophet Musa alayhi salam was born to one of the descendants of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam. He was born in Egypt. The ruler of Egypt was the Pharaoh, and he hated the Israelites very much. One day, he sent an order to kill all baby boys born in Israelite families. The soldiers killed all the newborn boys in Egypt, and they soon arrived at the house of Musa alayhi salam. But Musa's mother escaped from the house unnoticed. She placed her baby in a wooden chest in the great Nile River. Musa alayhi salam floated in the current for a long time. And all this time, the Prophet's elder sister
ran along the shores of the river, following the wooden chest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided the chest down the Nile River, and soon it floated into a small stream. The Pharaoh's wife spotted the chest and ordered her servants to bring it ashore. When Pharaoh's wife, who was taking a bath in the stream, saw the baby, she fell in love with him. She picked up the baby and showed him to the Pharaoh. "Look," she said, "here is a joy for the eye to behold. Please don't kill him. Let us adopt him as our son." The Pharaoh agreed with her, and they decided to adopt the baby. It was in this way that God made the Prophet grow up in the royal court of Egypt. By the evening, Pharaoh's wife was really upset. "Why doesn't this baby eat?" she asked her servants. "We need someone to nurse him quickly, otherwise he is going to die." The Prophet's sister, who had been following him all this while, overheard this. She came forward and spoke up. "I know a woman who can nourish the baby with good care." Pharaoh's wife was surprised to see her, but she had become very desperate by now. She agreed to her suggestion and asked her to bring the woman. In the meantime, the Prophet's mother was weeping bitterly at the thought of her little boy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much a mother loves her child. It was then that her daughter came running to her, bearing the great news. She told her that the Prophet was adopted by the royal family, and that they were looking for a nurse. She immediately left with her daughter to feed her little boy. When Pharaoh's wife saw the little boy being fed by the nurse, she was pleasantly surprised. The boy had not taken any food all day, and she was getting concerned. Little did she know that the nurse was actually his mother. It was in this way that Allah made the mother happy again. The Prophet grew up in the palace and was taught along with Pharaoh's son. He grew to become big and strong, but he was very kind and gentle to everyone. The people of Egypt loved him very much. One day, he saw a soldier beating an Israelite. The poor man kept begging everyone for help, but no one interfered. When he saw the Prophet, the poor man pleaded to help him. The Prophet was very angry when he saw this. He stepped forward and hit the soldier with such a powerful blow that he collapsed and died. When his anger subsided, he realized what a grave sin he had committed. The Prophet knew it was a sin to kill anyone until he is brought to trial and found guilty. He knelt on the ground and prayed to Allah, "Oh my Lord, I have indeed wronged my soul. Do you forgive me?" The Prophet then vowed, "Never help those that sin, and to be in Allah's service for the rest of his life." The next day, the Prophet was still shaken from what had happened the day before. It was then that he saw the same poor man he had helped getting beaten by another soldier. The Prophet decided to help him again, but then the soldier said something that made him stop abruptly. He said, "Oh Musa, are you going to kill me the same way you killed that man yesterday?" Before the Prophet could utter a word, one of his friends came running to him. "Musa, the Egyptian chiefs know what you did. They are coming to arrest you. Get away while you still can." The Prophet then asked Allah to save him from these sinful people. He then left the city to the land of Midian. Little did he know that he was about to encounter many adventures in his life devoted to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He walked through the deserts for many days to reach Madian. It was then that he stumbled upon a small oasis which had several trees and a waterhole. The sun was blazing hot, so he decided to get some rest. He saw some men who were letting their animals drink water from the waterhole. Behind them were two young women with a tiny flock of sheep waiting for their turn. After some time, he called out to the women, "What's wrong? Why don't you let your sheep drink water?" The women told him that they couldn't because the men won't let them till they finish. When the Prophet heard this, he got up and steered their sheep toward the water, letting them drink. The men grumbled at first, but when they saw how big and strong the Prophet was, they stopped their grumbling and stayed back. The two women were grateful for the Prophet's help. He went back and sat under the cool shade of a tree, and the women took their flock of sheep back home. After some time, one of the women returned and asked him to come meet their father. The Prophet agreed and went with her. He reached their house and introduced himself to their father. The Prophet told the old man his story. The father found the Prophet to be a very good man, so he offered one of his daughters to him in marriage. He had become old and needed a young man to help with the care of animals. The Prophet agreed, and he got married to one of his daughters. It was a happy marriage, and he took care of the animals. Did you enjoy the video, kids? Inshallah, in the next episode, I will tell you the story of how the Prophet returned to Egypt and saved the Israelites. If you liked the video, don't forget to click that subscribe button and the notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Don't forget to share the video with your friends as well. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. Did you enjoy the last episode? Insha'Allah, today I am going to tell you the story of how Prophet Musa alayhi salam returned to Egypt to save his people. Now, listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Many years had passed by now. Prophet Musa alayhi salam lived a life of content, and he had forgotten all his troubles in Egypt. He worked hard taking care of the animals in the farm. One day, the Prophet decided to go back to Egypt. He camped near Mount Sinai on his way back. It was really cold, so he decided to find some wood for making a fire. It was then that he saw a fire on top of the mountain. As he approached the fire, he noticed a strange thing. The fire was burning from a bush and didn't burn the bush up. It just stayed there, burning. It was then that he heard a voice. O Musa, I am your Lord. The Prophet was surprised to hear that. You must take off your shoes in my presence. The Prophet then removed his shoes and walked toward the bush. God told him that he was to be a prophet. His mission was to go to the Pharaoh of Egypt and tell him about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet was confused. How was he going to convince the Pharaoh? Then Allah said,
"What is that in your right hand, O Musa?"
"It is my staff," he replied.
"Throw it on the ground."
The prophet did as God asked, and as soon as the staff hit the ground, it turned into a snake. Then God asked the prophet to pick it up. When the prophet touched the snake, it turned back into his staff again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him a few other miracles and asked him to head to Egypt. God also told him to take his brother Harun along with him. Prophet Musa alayhi salam took his brother Harun alayhi salam and went to meet the Pharaoh at the palace.
"O Pharaoh, I am the messenger of the one true God. Let the Israelites go with me."
When the Pharaoh heard this, he started laughing. The prophet went on to warn the Pharaoh of all the calamities that would occur if he did not follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Pharaoh refused to listen because he thought himself to be God. The Pharaoh asked Musa to show a sign from his God. The prophet threw down his staff, and it quickly turned into a snake. Everyone at the palace, including the Pharaoh, were stunned for a second. But the Pharaoh tried hard not to show it.
"Ha," said the Pharaoh in a prideful tone, "I have sorcerers who can match your magic."
The Pharaoh sent his messengers all over the land of Egypt to bring the best sorcerers available. They were promised a huge reward if they could outmatch the prophet. The sorcerers readily agreed, and they all left for the palace. On the day of the contest, the Pharaoh's court was filled with many people. Everyone in the room sided with the Pharaoh and left the prophet all alone. But the prophet had his lord with him. One by one, the sorcerers assembled their ropes and rods and threw them to the floor. The magicians and sorcerers were able to transform their ropes and rods into snakes and wiggly things. It was now the prophet's turn. When the staff fell to the ground, it turned into a giant snake. Then, to everyone's shock, it started swallowing other snakes on the floor. After the last sorcerer's rope had been swallowed, the prophet grabbed the snake, and it became his staff once again. Everyone present at the palace were shocked, and they kept staring at the prophet. Everyone, including the sorcerers present, realized that the prophet was not a magician or sorcerer. They knew that his power came from something greater than anything human. The sorcerers fell on their knees to beg for forgiveness. The Pharaoh was furious when he saw this.
"How can you believe in any other god other than me? If you don't get up right now, then I'll have your arms and legs cut off, and you will be crucified."
The sorcerers said, "Do what you will, but we fear the punishment of Allah much more than yours." The Pharaoh now realized that he had a problem. The prophet once again demanded that the Israelites go with him out of Egypt. But the Pharaoh would still not allow it. Then Allah brought down the punishments one by one. At first, there was a severe drought that stopped the crops from growing. All the cattle died of thirst. The Pharaoh called the prophet and promised to release the Israelites to leave with him if he could make the drought stop. The prophet prayed to God to remove the drought, and it soon started raining. But as soon as the drought was gone, the Pharaoh broke his promise. Many punishments came on Egypt,
and during each calamity, the Pharaoh would make a promise to the prophet. But after the calamity had passed, he would go back on his word. There were plagues. There was an attack of lice. Then came an attack of locusts. And after that, there were frogs everywhere. Each of them more horrible than the last. Even the waters of the Nile River turned into blood. But the Pharaoh still refused to let the Israelites leave. Finally, God told the prophet to take the people out of Egypt during the night. Heeding God's word, Prophet Musa alayhi salam took the Israelites and left Egypt. At first, no one realized that the Israelites were gone. But soon, the news spread and Pharaoh came to know about this. The Pharaoh was now very angry. So, he ordered all his forces to go and catch them before they went far. He joined them, and they all went searching for the prophet. The prophet had taken his followers as far as the Red Sea by now. When he looked back, he could see the Pharaoh and his army approaching them. It was then that Allah commanded him to strike the water with his staff. The prophet obeyed and struck the water. Everyone was shocked when they saw what happened. The Red Sea miraculously parted and left a straight and narrow path. The prophet asked his people to walk through the path and cross the Red Sea. He guided them through the path, and everyone reached the opposite shore safely. The Pharaoh was amazed at what was going on. But soon, his ego overtook him. "Now we have got them," he shouted to his soldiers, and ordered them to take the narrow path to cross the Red Sea. The prophet, who was standing at the opposite shore, could see the Pharaoh and his army fast approaching. All of a sudden, the mountains of water on each side of the narrow path came crashing down. The soldiers cried out, but the voices were cut off by the splash of water. The prophet and his people were safe now. They were now headed to their promised land. Did you enjoy the video, kids? Insha'Allah, in the next episode, I will tell you the story of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet and his people. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Please share our videos with your friends and family as well. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, kids. Insha'Allah, today I'm going to tell you another story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. How he wandered in the desert and how God tested his people. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. God tests the Israelites. In the last episode, we saw how Prophet Musa alayhi salam took his people across the Red Sea. They now began their journey to the promised land of Canaan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that this was the land of abundance, and that the Israelites were to be an example for all mankind to follow. But Canaan was still far away, and the sun grew fierce and hot. Allah, in His mercy, shielded the people from the sun by making clouds follow them wherever they went. As they crossed the desert, it was impossible to find enough food to feed all the people. The people became impatient with hunger and demanded the prophet to do something. The prophet prayed to God to help his people. God created a food called men and made it fall from the sky like rain. But the people soon got tired of eating men, and they demanded meat. When the prophet prayed to God, he made quails fly to them. People could easily catch them and cook their meat. Surely these people were blessed to have Allah as their protector. For many days they went without water, and the people soon became thirsty. The prophet prayed to his Lord again, seeking his mercy. Allah the Merciful heard his prayers, and he asked the prophet to strike a rock. When he did, water gushed out of the rock from 12 different places. There were 12 tribes among the people, and each one now had their own fountain of cool, clear water. With all these blessings, it is hard to imagine the Israelites disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, one by one, they started to complain to the Prophet that they wanted to go back to Egypt. They complained they were tired of men and traveling. They started questioning the Prophet if there really was a land called Canaan after all. The people by now had forgotten that not too long ago, they were slaves to the Pharaoh. The Prophet was sad because of their constant demands. After many months of traveling, they finally arrived at the foothills of Mount Sinai. It was here that the Prophet received the first commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asked his people to wait below till he was back from the hill. He put his brother Harun alayhi salam in charge of the people. The Prophet started climbing the mountain. The climb was long and difficult. When he reached the top, he found the same bush burning, the one he had seen when he was here last time. The Lord spoke to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, gave Musa alayhi salam stone tablets in which he had special laws written to govern the Israelites. God asked the Prophet to take back the tablets to his people and asked him to follow the laws strictly. The Prophet had been gone for many days now, and the people had become impatient. They started taunting Prophet Harun alayhi salam. One among them, named Samari, was more inclined towards evil. He came forward and said, "Prophet Musa has left us. He will not be coming back. How are we going to survive? We should pray to our gods, the idols." Then one among them said, "But we don't have any idols with us." Then Samari smiled wickedly and said, "We will make one." Prophet Harun alayhi salam tried to warn them of the punishments if they started worshipping the idols again. But the people paid no heed and decided to go ahead with their plans. Samari took all the gold his people had with them. He melted the gold in a large bowl. Then they used this to make a big golden calf. They molded the calf so that it was hollow inside. So when the wind blew through the hollow calf, it made strange noises. The Israelites believed that this was their god, and they started worshipping the idol. When Prophet Musa alayhi salam returned after 40 days, he was quite taken aback but what he saw. He saw the men and women dancing and worshipping a golden statue. He was very angry and sad now. He threw the tablets on the ground in anger. He grabbed his brother by his hair and said, "Did I not tell you to watch the people in my absence?" His brother pleaded that he tried to stop them, but they didn't listen to him. They had even threatened to kill him. The prophet let go of his brother and asked Allah for forgiveness for himself and Harun. Then Samari came forward and said,
"I took a pinch of sand from your footstep, O Musa, and tossed it into the molten gods as it was shaped."
Samari thought this would flatter him, but the prophet became more angry and said to the Samari, "Get out of my sight, and from now on, whenever someone comes to you, you must say, 'Touch me not.'" That was his punishment in this life. But Allah had a greater punishment waiting for the Samari and his followers in the next life. The Prophet then destroyed the golden calf. He knew that God was going to punish them for worshipping the idol. So he chose 70 seniors from each tribe and ordered them, "Rush toward Allah and repent for what you did." He then climbed Mount Sinai with those 70 elders. Once they reached the top, the Prophet asked the elders to wait for him, and he walked ahead. There, he started communicating with God. The elders could hear Musa speaking with God, but they could not see him. The Prophet returned after some time, and the elders told him, "O Musa, we shall never believe in you until we see Allah ourselves." The stubborn demand was rewarded with punishing thunderbolts and an earthquake that killed all of them instantly. The Prophet was very sad now. He wondered what he would say to the children of the Israelites. Those 70 men were the best of the people. So he turned to God and prayed for forgiveness. Allah heard his prayers and raised the people back to life. In the end, many of the Israelites disobeyed all of Allah's commandments. It was the Prophet who had to suffer greatly because of the ignorance of his people. Allah never allowed them to reach Canaan, and they roamed in the desert for many more years. Prophet Harun alayhi salam too suffered greatly. After many years of wandering, one day he died in the desert. The time of death for Musa alayhi salam had finally arrived. God sent his angel of death to the Prophet. When the angel came to the Prophet, Musa alayhi salam slapped him on the eye. The angel returned to the Lord and said, "You sent me to a slave who didn't want to die." Then Allah said, "Return to him now. When you meet him, ask him to put his hand on the back of an ox. Tell him that for every hair that comes under his arm, he will be granted 1 year of life." The angel returned to the Prophet and gave him Allah's message. "What will happen after that?" "Death," said the angel. "Then let it come now," replied the Prophet. The Prophet then requested Allah to let him die close to the Holy Land, so that he could at least see it from a distance. Allah granted his request, and the Prophet finally could see the Promised Land from a distance. He breathed, watching the Promised Land. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the one to whom Allah spoke directly, met his death with a contented soul and a faithful heart.
Hello, kids. Did you like the video? Please subscribe to our channel and click that notification bell icon to keep updated on all our videos. Don't forget to share our videos as well. Insha'Allah, in the next episode, I will tell you the story of Prophet Yusha alayhi salam and Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. I hope you liked the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam in the last episode. Insha'Allah, I'm going to tell you the stories of two prophets today, Prophet Yusha alayhi salam and Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Prophet Yusha alayhi salam was one of the followers of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He served the old prophet and learned a lot from him. The Israelites had to wander in the desert for 40 years because of the sins committed by them. Finally, after 40 years of travel, they finally reached their promised land. Musa alayhi salam died before reaching the promised land, but he at least got a chance to see it from a distance. It was Prophet Yusha alayhi salam who led the group from there on. They traveled for many days and finally reached the banks of River Jordan. Under the leadership of Yusha alayhi salam, the people crossed the river. They had now reached the outskirts of Jericho. The people living in the city of Jericho were idol worshippers. The men were huge and well built, but they were very cruel as well. They did not respect their elders and treated them cruelly. They cheated and stole from one another. Their leaders were no better either. They were a bunch of corrupt men. They took bribes and favored the rich. The poor people living in the city were helpless. Yusha alayhi salam and his people had camped outside the city. It was then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet to take control of the city. Next morning, the Prophet lined up his strongest men to invade the city. It was a Friday. He took his men and approached the city. When the leaders of Jericho saw the men approaching, they sent their huge army to confront them, and thus began a huge battle. Prophet Yusha alayhi salam and his men fought bravely, even though they were outnumbered. The soldiers of Jericho were huge in size as well, but they didn't lose hope and kept fighting. The Prophet's men fought the whole morning, afternoon, and evening. The sun was about to set. This got the Prophet worrying. The next day was Saturday, the day of the Sabbath. It was a holy day for all of them, and he didn't want to fight on the day of Sabbath. The Prophet prayed to Allah in the middle of the battlefield, asking him to hold the sun from setting. It was a miracle. The sun didn't go down, and it just stood there for hours. The soldiers of Jericho were bewildered seeing this. They realized that the men they were fighting had God to help them. Yusha alayhi salam and his men fought bravely and eventually won the war. Once they had taken the land of Jericho, the Prophet led them for 28 years. He was a great and kind prophet, and the people loved him very much. Did you enjoy the video, kids? All right, now get ready for the next story. The story of Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam. Now listen carefully. Prophet Yusha alayhi salam led the children of Israel for a long time. As mentioned before, he was just and kind with all his people. The Israelites lived for a long time happily under the grace of all-merciful God. The land received good rains, and the people were blessed with abundant harvests. But the happiness didn't last for long.
there was a sudden attack of plague in the land, and people started falling sick. One by one, they started dying because of this plague. Little children, the young, and the old were dying everywhere. Instead of praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy, the people got scared and started fleeing from the land. They carried with them all their belongings and left their homes behind. The whole town looked barren and empty now, except for the sick who were left behind. When God saw the people running away, he was very angry with them. He had been so gracious to them all this time, and now they were leaving all his blessings behind. The people traveled for many days and nights, and they eventually settled on top of a mountain. This place was called Damardan. Suddenly, out of nowhere, the angel of death appeared before them. Then he commanded, "Die, you all." His command echoed all through the valley, and in a moment, all the Israelites fell down dead. The dead bodies just lied there for centuries, and now all what remained was their bones. Prophet Hizqiel alayhi salam had succeeded Prophet Yusha alayhi salam. He was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and preached about the one true God in different lands. One day, the Prophet was traveling to another town, and he happened to pass through Damardan. The Prophet was quite surprised when he saw all the bones lying scattered around. He wondered what could have happened there. How was it possible that there were so many skeletons of dead people on top of this mountain? Then, suddenly, he heard a voice. "Do you want to see how I bring the dead back to life?" the voice echoed. Hizqiel alayhi salam realized that he was hearing the voice of God. He wanted to witness his power for himself, so he answered yes without hesitating. The voice then commanded the Prophet to repeat his words. "O bones, Allah commands you to gather up," the voice said. As commanded, the Prophet repeated those words, looking at the skeletons. As soon as he said those words, all the bones started rising up in the air. Then they started flying here and there. They joined together, and there it was, a large crowd of skeletons lying before him. The Prophet couldn't believe his eyes. Then the Prophet heard the voice again. "Repeat after me. O bones, by the order of Allah, wear skin and flesh, and wear the clothes in which you died in." Not sooner did the Prophet finish repeating those words, when the skeletons were covered with flesh and skin, and then they were covered in clothes as well. The voice commanded the Prophet to repeat the words one last time. "O resurrected ones, stand up by the command of Allah." When the Prophet repeated those words, all the dead came back to life. It was a miracle. The Prophet learned a very important lesson that day. He learned that one cannot get rid of his death by running away or hiding from God. The death that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for someone will surely strike him or her when it is their time. Did you like the story? If you liked it, then please hit the like button. And don't forget to subscribe and click that notification icon to stay updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Shamil alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for today's episode? Insha'Allah,
I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Shamil alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah. The story of Prophet Shamil alayhi salam. After the death of Prophets Yusha alayhi salam and Prophet Hizqil alayhi salam, the people of Israel were left with no leaders. They committed sins and frequently fought with each other. To teach them a lesson, Allah sent them tyrannous kings who ill-treated them and spilled their blood. These kings frequently went to war with their neighbors. The soldiers took the Ark of the Covenant with them whenever they went to war. They believed the Ark would bring them luck. But one time, when they went out for war, the Ark was captured from them. The soldiers ran from the battlefield, fearing their lives. When the king heard that they had lost the Ark, he died on the spot. The people remained like sheep without a shepherd, until Almighty Allah sent them a prophet named Shamil alayhi salam. The people asked the prophet to appoint a king over them to lead them in a war against their enemies. Prophet Shamil alayhi salam, knowing their weakness, told them, "I fear that when the time comes to fight, you may refuse." But the people assured him that they had suffered enough insults and were now ready to fight in the way of Allah, even if they lost their lives. The Prophet prayed to Allah for guidance. Allah revealed to him that he had chosen one Talut to be their king. The Prophet didn't know this person, so he asked God how would he recognize Talut. He was told that Talut would come to him by himself, and they should then hand over the control of the kingdom to him. Talut was tall and sturdy, pious and very intelligent. He lived and worked with his father at their farm. One day, several of their donkeys were lost. Talut went searching for the donkeys, accompanied by one of his servants. They traveled for many days and were very tired. Talut was really tired and wanted to go back to his farm. He was worried that the other animals would die if they didn't return soon. It was then that the servant suggested that they were in the land of Prophet Shamil alayhi salam. He thought it would be a good idea to ask him about the lost donkeys. Talut too agreed with his servant, and they went searching for the Prophet's house. On their way, they asked directions from some maidens carrying water. They told them to go in the direction of the hills. When they finally reached the house of the Prophet, they were surprised to see a huge crowd gathered in front of the house. When the Prophet saw Talut, he instantly recognized him as the king Allah had chosen for his people. Talut greeted the Prophet respectfully and asked him about his missing donkeys. "Don't worry," said the Prophet. "Your donkeys are already on their way back to your farm." He then told Talut that Allah had chosen him as the king of the children of Israel. He then explained him his duties as king and told him that if he carried out Allah's commands, he would be victorious. Talut was quite surprised by this news. It was such a huge responsibility. He told the Prophet that he belonged to the tribe of Binyamin, the least famous tribes of Yaqub. "And I know nothing of leadership, kingship, and I have no wealth." The Prophet told him that it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he should be king, that he should thank God for his favor.
Taking Talut by the hand, the prophet led him to the children of Israel. "This is Talut, and he is to be your king." But the Israelites were hesitant.
"How can he be a king over us when we are better fitted than him for the kingdom?" shouted one man.
"He is not even rich. He doesn't even have enough wealth," shouted another.
"And he is from the tribe of Binyamin," said another.
Then the prophet calmly replied, "Verily, Allah has chosen him above you and has increased him abundantly in knowledge and stature, and Allah grants his kingdom to whom he wills." The Israelites shook their heads again.
"We need a sign to believe," said one man.
The prophet agreed and asked them to go to the city gates.
It was a miracle. When the people arrived at the gates, they were surprised to find the lost chest of Prophet Musa alayhi salam.
The people now believed in him and agreed to appoint him as their king. Talut then took charge as their king and immediately set out to meet the Philistine army who had camped near their land. He ordered that only men free from responsibilities should join the army. He asked those building homes, those who were about to be married, and those who were engaged in business not to join the army. He put them through vigorous training and gave them strict rules to follow. After a few days, he took his army out of the city to face the Philistines. Talut often put his men to frequent tests. On their way to the battlefield, they reached a river. The men were dying of thirst by now.
"You are allowed to drink water from the river, but only to quench your thirst, not more than that," he ordered them.
But the soldiers were really tired, and many of them drank more than they needed. Talut was disappointed when he found this. He immediately discharged them for disobedience. He kept only those who had proven their sincerity. Like this, he put his army through several tests, and by the time they came face to face with the Philistine army, there were only about 30 soldiers left with him. It was then that the leader of the Philistine army showed himself. He was a giant man, towering above all other soldiers. When Talut's soldiers saw him, some of them ran away from the battlefield. Galut then challenged them for single combat. It was customary in those days for a soldier from each side to fight with each other instead of the whole army. None of Talut's men offered to volunteer. Talut was worried now. He even offered his daughter's hand in marriage, but no one still volunteered. It was then that a young boy walked up to him and offered his help. Talut was quite surprised when he saw the boy. He wondered, how could this little boy beat the giant? But the faith and conviction of the little boy convinced Talut to let him face the enemy. The little boy was none other than Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. The little boy had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his side, and he was able to defeat the giant Galut. Talut returned victorious, and the predictions of Prophet Shamil alayhi salam had indeed come true.
Did you like the video, kids? Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button and notification icon to stay updated on all our videos. And do share the video with your friends as well. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello kids, how are you today?
Are you ready for today's episode?
Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam today.
Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully.
Bismillah.
The story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam.
Do you know how Talut took his small team of men to fight against the huge army of Philistines? The Philistine army was led by a giant man named Galut. He challenged Talut's army for a single combat, as was the custom of battle in those days. Giant Galut also wanted to show off his strength. Talut's men were terrorized, and no one had enough courage to volunteer. No one was willing to fight giant Goliath, even when the king offered the hand of his pretty daughter in marriage to the man who fought him. Then, to everyone's surprise, a young boy stepped forward. A roar of laughter echoed from the enemy's side. Even Talut's men shook their heads in disapproval. The young man was none other than Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. His elderly father had chosen three of his sons to join Talut's army. He had instructed the youngest, Dawood alayhi salam, not to take part in the fighting, but to help the army in other ways. He was also supposed to report to his father daily on what was happening at the war front. Although the king was very impressed by a youth's courage, he said, "I admire your courage, but you are no match for that mighty warrior. Let the strong men come forward." Dawood alayhi salam, however, had already decided and was willing to meet the challenge. Proudly, he told the king that only the day before he had killed a lion, which had threatened his father's sheep. And he told him about another occasion where he killed a huge bear as well. "Please don't judge me by my appearance," requested the young boy. "I fear no man or wild beast." The king, surprised by the young boy's brave stance, agreed.
"My brave soldier, if you are willing, then may Allah guard you and grant you strength."
The king dressed the young prophet in battle armor and handed him a sword. But Dawood alayhi salam was not used to wearing battle dress. He felt uncomfortable in it, and it obstructed his movements. He removed the armor, then collected a few pebbles and filled his leather pouch with them. He slung it over his shoulder, next to his sling. With his wooden staff in hand, he began to walk towards the enemy. Talut was worried. He asked him, "How on earth, with a sling and a couple of stones, are you going to defend yourself against the giant?" Then Dawood alayhi salam replied, "Allah, who protected me from the claws of the bear and the fangs of the lion, will certainly protect me from this brute." When Galut saw the lean young man who looked like a boy, he laughed loudly and roared,
"Are you out to play with one of your playmates? Or are you tired of your life? I will simply cut off your head with one swipe of my sword."
Then the prophet shouted back, "You may have armor, shield, and sword, but I face you in the name of Allah, the Lord of our people, whose laws you have mocked. Today, you will see that it is not the sword that kills, but the will and power of Allah." So saying, he took his sling and placed in it a pebble from his pouch. He swung the sling, aiming it at Galut. The pebble shot from the whirling sling with the speed of an arrow and hit Galut's head with great force. Blood gushed out, and Galut thumped to the ground, lifeless, before he even had a chance to draw his sword. When the rest of his men saw their mighty hero slain, they took to their heels. Dawood alayhi salam became a hero overnight. People cheered and welcomed him. Talut kept his word and married his daughter Mikael to the young warrior. He also took him under his wing as one of his chief advisors. The prophet became the most famous man among his people. However, he was not inveigled by this. He was not a prisoner of fame or leadership, but a prisoner of Allah's love. Therefore, after killing Galut, he went out into the desert in the company of nature, glorifying Almighty Allah and contemplating His favors, the plants, the birds, the beasts, and even the mountains responded to his voice, glorifying Allah. It was not the Prophet's sweet voice that made the birds and beasts join him. Allah had endowed him with the knowledge of understanding the languages of birds and animals as well. The people praised and loved Dawood alayhi salam. However, the hearts of men are fickle and memories short. Even great men can feel insecure and become petty-minded. Talut had become envious of the Prophet. When he saw how the people love him, he started getting insecure. And finally, he decided to kill the Prophet. Such is jealousy that not even his daughter's well-being mattered to him. Mikael learned of her father's plans. She hurried to her husband and warned him about the plans. The Prophet gathered some food and things, mounted his camel, and fled. He found a cave in which he remained hidden for many days. After a while, his brothers and some citizens too joined forces with him. The situation of Talut had grown very weak by now. He started ruling with a heavy hand. He ill-treated his subjects and tortured them. He terrorized his soldiers as well. This worsened his position, and his subjects began to slowly turn against him. When Talut heard the news that some of his citizens had joined forces with the Prophet, he was really angry. He then decided to go to war against the Prophet. They traveled through the valleys for many days to find the Prophet and his army. They had traveled a great distance by now, and all of the men were overcome by fatigue. They decided to rest for a while in the valley, where all of them soon fell asleep. Talut, who was very tired as well, slept in a cave too. It was then that the Prophet quietly crept up to him, removed his spear, and cut off a piece of garment with the sword. The Prophet then climbed a nearby mountain and shouted, "O King, you come out seeking me, but I do not hate you, and I do not want to kill you. If I did, I would have killed you when you were asleep. Here is a piece of garment. I could have killed you instead of cutting this piece of cloth, but I did not. My mission is that of love, not malice." Talut realized his mistake and begged for forgiveness. He then returned with his army back to his kingdom. Did you like the video, kids? Don't forget to click that subscribe button and notification bell to keep updated on our latest videos. Inshallah, in the next episode, I will tell you another story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. That's all for today. Goodbye!
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for today's episode? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Dawood alayhi salam. Who becomes a king today? Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. Bismillah.
Prophet Dawood alayhi salam becomes the king.
In the last episode, we saw how Talut got angry at Prophet Dawood alayhi salam and went to war against him. But the Prophet showed him that he did not want to fight with him and told him that he wanted to spread the message of love. Time passed, and Talut was killed in a battle which Dawood alayhi salam did not take part. The people remembered what Prophet Dawood alayhi salam had done for them, so they elected him as their king. Dawood alayhi salam, who was a prophet, succeeded Talut and became the king as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthened the dominion of the Prophet and made him victorious. His kingdom was strong and great. His enemies feared him, and they were afraid to go to war against him. The Prophet was an ardent follower of God. He used to fast every alternate days. He divided his nights into three. He used to sleep for the first half of the night and pray for one third of it, and again sleep for the sixth of it. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam was a just and righteous ruler who brought peace and prosperity to his people. He delivered Allah's message to the people through the precious gift of his melodious voice. When he recited the Zabur, it was as if the rest of creation chanted with him. People listened as if they were in a trance. The messages the Prophet delivered are famous and well remembered. The Prophet divided his working day into four parts. One, to earn a living, one to rest, one to pray to his Lord, one to listen to the complaints of his people, and the last part to deliver his sermons. He also appointed deputies to listen to his subjects' complaints so that in his absence people's problems might not be neglected. Although a king, he did not live on the income of his kingdom. Being well experienced in the craft of weapon making, he made and sold weapons and lived on that income. Allah granted the Prophet great influence as well. His people had a great number of wars in their time, but they had a problem. The iron armor was too heavy for the fighter to move and fight as he wished. It is said that the Prophet was sitting one day, contemplating this problem while toying with a piece of iron. Suddenly, he found his hand sinking in the iron. Almighty Allah had made the iron flexible for him. Dawood alayhi salam was blessed with a son named Sulaiman alayhi salam, who later became a prophet as well. The child was intelligent and wise, even as a child. When the following story took place, Sulaiman alayhi salam was 11 years old. One day, Dawood alayhi salam was sitting, as usual, solving the problems of his people, when two men, one of whom had a field, came to him. The owner of the field said, "O dear Prophet, this man's sheep came to my field at night and ate up the grapes. I have come to ask for compensation." The Prophet asked the owner of the sheep, "Is this true?" He said,
"Yes, sir."
Dawood said, "I have decided that you give him your sheep in exchange for the field." In the meantime, Sulaiman alayhi salam spoke up, "I have another opinion," he said. "The owner of the sheep should take the sheep and make use of their wool and milk until his field is repaired. When the grapes grow and the field returns to its former state,
Then the field owner should take his field and give back the sheep to their owner. Everyone present was surprised at the wisdom of this little boy. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam stood up and said, "This is sound judgment. Praise be to Allah for gifting you with wisdom. You truly are Sulaiman the wise." One day, when it was time prayer, Prophet went inside his room and asked the guards to not allow anyone inside. When the Prophet was about to start his prayer, two men mysteriously appeared before him. "Who are you?" the Prophet asked. One of the men said, "Do not be frightened. We have a dispute among us, and we have come asking for your judgment." The Prophet asked them what the dispute was. The first man said, "This is my brother. He has 99 sheep, and I have just one sheep, which he gave me to take care of. But now he took back the only sheep I had." The Prophet was in a hurry, so he didn't wait to hear the second person and said, "He did you wrong by taking the sheep back." When he gave the judgment, the two men vanished like a cloud. It was then that he realized that they were two angels sent to teach him a lesson. He realized that he should not have passed judgment before hearing the opposing party. The Prophet cried to Allah seeking repentance, and he never did the same mistake again. Allah forgave him, and the Prophet lived for a very long time. The Prophet worshipped Allah and sang his praises until he died. According to tradition, his death was mourned by 4,000 priests and thousands of people. During the day of burial, the sun was so hot and the people who had arrived were having a very hard time. It was then that Sulaiman called the birds. Thousands of birds arrived and flew up covering the sun. Ha ha! This was the first sign of dominion by Sulaiman that was witnessed by the people.
Did you like the story, kids? If you liked the video, please click the like button and don't forget to subscribe to our channel and click that notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Inshallah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam in the next episode. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Assalamu alaikum. Hello, kids. How are you today? Are you ready for the next story? Insha'Allah, I am going to tell you the story of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam today. Are you ready, children? Now listen carefully. After the death of his father, Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam inherited his prophethood and dominion. He begged Allah for a kingdom such as none after would have, and Allah granted his wish. Besides wisdom, Allah had blessed Sulaiman alayhi salam with many abilities. He could command the winds. He could understand and talk to birds and animals. One day, the Prophet gathered his army, which had different battalions of men, jinns, birds, and animals. He marched them to the country of Ascalon. While passing through a valley, an ant saw the approaching army and cried out to warn those coming behind him, "Run to your homes! Otherwise, unaware Sulaiman and his army might crush you." When the Prophet heard the cry of the ant, he smiled. He was glad that the ant knew him to be a prophet who would not intentionally harm Allah's creation. He thanked Allah for saving the ants' lives.
Once the Prophet called for a meeting with all the birds and animals. Everyone arrived, except for Hoopoe Bird. The bird was nowhere to be found. In anger, he declared that unless the bird had good reason for its absence, he would punish it severely. The Hoopoe eventually came to him and explained the reason for its delay. "I have discovered something of which you are not aware," said the bird. "I have come from Sheba with important news." The prophet's anger subsided, and he became curious. "Sheba is ruled by a queen named Bilqis. They have plenty of everything, including a splendid throne. But, in spite of all this wealth, Shaitan has entered her heart and the hearts of her people. She rules their minds completely. I was shocked to learn that they worship the sun instead of Allah the Almighty." To check the information, the Prophet sent a letter to the queen with the bird. He instructed the bird to remain hidden and watch everything. The Hoopoe dropped the letter in front of the queen and flew away to hide. Bilqis excitedly opened the letter and read, "Verily, it is from Solomon. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, be you not exalted against me, but come to me as Muslims." The queen was very disturbed after reading the letter. She hurriedly summoned her advisors. When they read the letter, they felt the prophet was trying to threaten them. But the queen felt differently. She asked them to send their men with precious gifts for the prophet. She also wanted the men to find out about his military strength. When the men arrived in the land of the prophet, they were surprised. They saw the well-equipped army, and the sights they saw around them made them realize that their wealth was nothing compared to the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam. They were surprised at the number and variety of soldiers, which included lions, tigers, and birds. The prophet knew that the men were here on a probing mission. When the messengers presented their queen's precious gifts, they were shocked by the prophet's reactions. He did not even ask to open the covers of containers. He told them, "Allah has given me plenty of wealth, a large kingdom, and prophethood. I am therefore beyond bribery. My only objective is to spread the belief in Tawheed, the oneness of Allah." He also directed them to take back the gifts to the queen and tell her that if she did not stop her kind of worship, he would uproot her kingdom and drive its people out of the land. The queen's envoys returned the gifts to the queen and delivered the message. They also told her of the wonderful things they had seen. Instead of taking offense, she decided to visit the prophet herself. Accompanied by her royal officials and servants, she left Saba. She sent a messenger ahead to inform the prophet that she was on her way to meet him. When the prophet heard the news, he assembled the jinns who worked for him. He asked them if anyone among them could bring her throne to the palace before she arrived. One of them said, "I will bring it to you before this sitting is over." The prophet did not react to this offer. It appeared that he was waiting for a faster means. The jinns competed with each other to please him. Then the last one said, "I will fetch it for you in the twinkling of an eye." No sooner had this one finished his phrase than the throne magically stood before the prophet. The throne of Bilqis, which had been in Yemen, some 2,000 miles away, now stood before him. When the queen arrived at the palace, she was welcomed with pomp and ceremony. Then, pointing to the throne, the prophet asked her
whether her throne looked like that one. She looked at it again and again. In her mind, she was convinced her throne could not be possible to be the one she was looking at, as hers was in her palace in Yemen. Yet, detecting a striking similarity, she replied, "It's as if it were the very one, and resembles mine in every respect." The Prophet, impressed by her intelligence and diplomatic skills, he invited her into the great hall, the floor of which was laid in glass and shimmering. Thinking it was water, she stepped on the floor. She lifted her skirt slightly above her heels, fear of wetting it. The Prophet pointed out to her that it was made of solid glass. Bilqis was amazed. She had never seen such things before. She realized that she was in the company of a very knowledgeable person, who was not only a great ruler, but a messenger of Allah as well. She repented and gave up the worship of the sun. She went back to her kingdom and asked her people to do the same. The Prophet's death, like his life, was unique. One day, the Prophet was overseeing the jinns working at the mine. The Prophet was sitting on a chair, holding his staff. He died sitting in this position. For a long time, no one was aware of his death, for he was seen sitting erect. The jinns continued with their strife and toil, thinking that the Prophet was watching over them. Many days later, a hungry ant began nibbling at the Prophet's staff. It continued to do so, eating the lower part of the staff, until it fell out of the Prophet's hand. When his great body was no longer supported, it fell down. People hurried to him, and it was then that they realized that he had died a long time ago. Did you like the video, kids? Please click the like button if you did. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and notification icon to keep updated on all our videos. Insha'Allah, I will tell you the story of Prophet Isaiah alayhi salam in the next video. That's all for today. Goodbye!